It's time for the KVML AM-FM Political Forum, live from the Tuolumne County Supervisory Chambers. Tonight's two-hour broadcast is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. Trust in Nate's Tree Service, locally owned and operated. Call 532-2460. Call Faust first, 588-0207. Faust Heating and Air. Now, live from the Tuolumne County Courthouse, here's moderator B.J. Hansen.
And good evening. I'm B.J. Hansen, and I welcome you tonight to Clark Broadcasting's Candidates Forum, featuring the candidates for Tuolumne County Supervisor, District 2 and 3, Sonora City Council, and Tuolumne County Tax Collector. The June primary election is coming up on June 5th, and this is the first opportunity to hear from all the candidates for the various local races on the ballot in Tuolumne County. We will showcase all the candidates together, first off, for District 2 and 3 Supervisor, then Sonora City Council, and wrapping up with Tax Collector. The candidates will have a chance to give an introduction. They will then be asked a series of questions which they did not see ahead of time. And at the end, there will be time for closing statements where the candidates can share their final thoughts and also speak about any issues that may not have been brought up during the questioning or are pertinent to their district. So starting things off, we've lined up all the candidates for Tuolumne County Supervisor. Take note of who is running for the specific seats, as we have in District 2, first off, the incumbent, Randy Hanvelt, challengers, Ryan Campbell and David Tichenal. And then for District 3, where there is no incumbent running, as Evan Royce is not running for re-election, there are Merv Cancio, Anaya Kirk, Aaron Rasmussen, and Lori Sylvester. And the reason we are putting all the candidates together for District 2 and 3 on the stage at the same time is because when we were developing questions for tonight, we realized that the questions facing the supervisors for District 2 and 3, a lot of the questions are topics are the same because it's not necessarily specific to just one district. And all the candidates will receive the same questions, and after each person is answered, I will start with the next question and with the next person, so it's not the same person starting with a question each time or ending with the same time. So everybody gets a chance to start first and last as well. So we're now going to move into opening statements, and you have 2 minutes to do so, and I will be keeping a timer. When there's 10 seconds left, I'm going to put this piece of paper up to let you know that it's time to wrap up, and if you hear the timer go off, that is the time when it is time to stop, and we're going to move on to the next person. So we'll start off first with Mr. Hanvelt, opening statements.
Thank you, BJ, and thank Clark Broadcasting for doing this. It's a great public service that you do this. I am Randy Hanvelt. I am your District 2 supervisor today, so I am the incumbent. This is not a race or an issue of a single issue. It is about who is best qualified to carry the message of Tuolumne County forward. No one works harder for you. No one has greater passion, energy, commitment, or dedication for the people of Tuolumne County than Randy Hanvelt. I think I've demonstrated that. I've demonstrated leadership, and I've given you proven results on a number of fronts. And it's all about making things happen for you. I've positioned myself with a lot of help from other people in other counties to be in a position to influence state and federal decisions, and I think I've done that. And so it's about carrying the Tuolumne County, the rural county message forward and making it happen. And that's what I do. Every day I work for you. This is not a full-time job. Some people say, is it a full-time job? No, it's a double-time job at least. If you're going to do this job right, you got to put in a lot of hours, and that's every night and weekends too. And that's what I do for you. I carry the message. I'm the leader among county supervisors in the state on tree mortality and bringing home the bacon, making sure that they understood the problems and where they needed to apply money, and that's what I've done. I've done that on a number of other issues, leader in terms of helping with establishing the need for funding for emergencies, and we've had 7 of them since 2013 rim fire. So I work for you. You're always on my mind, and I appreciate your vote in June in this election. It means a lot. It's going forward for all of you, mostly our kids and our grandkids. That's what this election is about. Thanks.
Thank you. And Mr. Campbell.
Yeah, thank you, BJ. So the voters have...
Okay, can you hear me now? All right. So the voters have an important decision to make, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to talk to you and to kind of lay out my vision for our community and why I would be the best choice to be your representative for the 2nd District. So I grew up not that far outside of Tuolumne County. I've lived here a long time. I grew up on a farm. My father was an iron worker, and my mother was a preschool teacher. So I was a farm kid. You could say I know a thing or two about hard work. My wife and I live near Crystal Falls, and we are raising 3 beautiful girls, and that's the main reason I do the things that I do in our community, is to provide a better future for them. So what's important is that so my 3 daughters inform a lot of the decisions I make in my life, and it's difficult. My wife and I both work full-time, and our days are pretty much spent with diapers and daycare and figuring out how to make ends meet. So we are a working family, and I think that's a perspective that we need on the Board of Supervisors. We need a working person's perspective. I have that. I want to be that representative for you because that's what I am. I'm a working person. Now, I've made a lot of friends over the years. I've gone out over the past 6 months and introduced myself to folks in my neighborhood and around the 2nd District. And I think I understand what our community needs. We need better roads. Anybody that's driven on Middle Camp or Crystal Falls Drive knows what I'm talking about. We need better broadband internet access. We need to support our libraries and our parks and recreation. I work for Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services on the Tree Mortality Task Force.
All right, that is the time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Campbell. Mr. Tichenal.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dave Tichenal. I live in Willow Springs. Been a resident of, not a resident of Tuolumne County, but I was raised up here. Been here almost my whole life. And there's a lot of things that I've seen in my almost 60 years in Tuolumne County. I've seen it go from Mayberry RFD to what we are now. I remember when there was no traffic lights, and I remember when we had an uptown and a downtown theater. I remember when we had a couple of 76 stations downtown. So I know the whole history of Tuolumne County, and I'm anxious to try to restore some of that. And I don't want to, you know, go back in time, but I want to restore some of that, the values and the reasons that people like to move to a small town area like this. I also am president of the Homeowners Association in Willow Springs, which is right smack dab in the middle of District 2. So I have a life inside of the district, and I intend to make my ambitions and my work stay inside the district. I know that our current incumbent is spending a lot of time outside, and he's doing really good work with the RCRC and some of the other groups. But that's not the course that I'm going to take. I want to spend the time with the people in the district, making sure that I understand what your issues are and what your problems are, because I share those same issues and problems. I'm also not a big government guy. Many of you know I'm part of the state of Jefferson, and that informs a lot of my decisions and how I look at things. I'm also a guy who likes to take action. I'm not somebody who sits at home and just complains and threatens to throw my shoe through the TV because I don't like the way things are going. I have to get up, I have to get out, and I have to do something about what I see out there. And one of the things that I enjoy doing is making decisions and doing them, you know, on the spot. I like to make sure that we aren't vacillating one way or the other. If there's a problem, we have to fix it and move on. Thank you.
And thank you. And Mr. Cancio.
As a Tuolumne County resident for the past 47 years, I want to protect and preserve our way of life. If elected, I will retire from my teaching job and be your full-time supervisor. I have served students and parents for the past 34 years at Curtis Creek School. I will bring the same level of commitment and dedication to represent you. To be an effective supervisor, I am prepared to put in the long hours to meet regularly with my constituents, attend committee meetings, research the issues, and be available to respond to your concerns in a timely manner. As your supervisor, I will lead the decision-making process to set the policy that encourages growth, smart growth. To increase revenue, I will be an advocate to ideas that attract, retain, and expand businesses that pay living wage jobs. I will support development of affordable housing and promote our tourism industry. We can protect our way of life by saying no to commercial marijuana cultivation. However, I do support the use of medical marijuana. I have the leadership experience as a faculty association president. I am a member of our school budget committee that recently made hard decisions to balance our budget. I know how to chair committees to discuss, resolve, and find solutions to the problems. One of my strong suits is to listen to all sides and moderate the discussions so that all the stakeholders are heard before coming to a decision. I will encourage people who think outside the box, and then let's move forward with a can-do attitude. I am grateful for all who have contributed to my campaign. I am paying the majority of my election expenses with my own money. I am not beholden to any special interest. I will represent all residents of District 3 with an independent voice. I respectfully ask for your vote.
Thank you. And Mr. Kirk.
Push the button. Hello. Yes, my name is Anaya Kirk. I'm 33 years old, and if you're wondering if I'm old enough, I am 33. I know I look like I'm 19. And if you saw me 10 years ago when I started, actually 12 years ago when I started as a probation officer, and then 10, 11 years ago as a correctional officer at Sierra Conservation Center, I kept getting haggled about my age. So I finally just got a note from my mother, and I brought it to work, and ever since then, it's been okay. So anyways, so I was born and raised in this district. I met my beautiful wife back there, Amy, in third grade. And in fifth grade, I told my brother I was going to marry her. I married her. We now have two beautiful children, and they are by far my biggest supporters here tonight. Tonight, I hope we talk about some of the important issues. We have issues that every other county has. We have deteriorating roads, mismanaged forests, a budget deficit, affordable housing issues, what to do about medicinal, recreational, and cultivation of big marijuana, which I'm the only candidate who stood up against big cultivation. We also have a stagnant economy, which are some of the issues that I will address as your supervisor. But I do bring a different perspective to the table, very different, especially coming from a generation that seems to want to get handouts, free handouts. I believe the job of a supervisor is to protect the taxes that you guys pay and to not ask for any more and to be good stewards of what we already give up from our pockets. I'm a strong advocate for hard work, budgeting, and paying for what you've earned. As your candidate, you can rest assured that I am not the politically connected candidate up here. I am not. I don't owe favors and will never receive any. I am a father. I am a husband who cares about the future of my children and my community. I represent the next generation who are stepping up to lead. We have young families here. We are working hard for the future and are completely invested in the success of this community. My name is Anaya Kirk. I'm running for District 3 supervisor, and I'd appreciate your vote.
Thank you. And Mr. Rasmussen.
Good evening. First, Aaron Rasmussen. I want to give a shout out to my mom. My mom, she's here tonight. My wife couldn't be here. She's delivering babies. And my son's at home listening on the radio. A lot of my campaign is really based from my friends and my family and just being a regular citizen. Small intro. I was born and raised in Tuolumne on Main Street. I got to run around. I had a hard life growing up. I had my stepdad had issues. My real dad had issues. My mom has been working two jobs since the late 80s to support our family. And so I wasn't born with a silver spoon. I was born like most people in Tuolumne County, someone who wasn't expected to be much, grow up to be much. And I believe that's part of the heartbeat of our community. I could touch bases with all. As you can see, I can dress the dapper part, but I can also relate. I can also relate to those that are struggling. I'm actually going to be getting my first Associates of Science over at Columbia College. I'll be graduating next Friday with my Natural Resources. I'm three classes away from forestry, and being in the Army, that was a good fit for me. Living up here in the woods, it's very important. We have one of the worst forestry environments of all of California. I've been all over. So that's one of the qualities I bring to the community and know how we can effectively do that. When I first decided to run, I had to ask my wife, and she agreed. And one of the first things we set down of rules is I'm going to be myself. I'm not a good politician. Those that know me know I'm not a very good politician. But those that know me know I'm a very good public servant. And I love to serve, and I love to be a part of my community. And that's what's really going to make or break our future. Aaron Rasmussen, running for District 3 Supervisor, just like Anaya.
Thank you. And Ms. Sylvester.
Thank you. So I'm Lori Sylvester. I'm candidate for District 3, and I'm always available full-time, double-time. Why run? As our nation stirs from its slumber, either stand on the sidelines, join the pundit gallery, or get into the race, and I'm in. Local government makes decisions that affect your homes and your lives, and our community needs attention. You're the experts in your community. The care and the feeding of a democracy involves we, the people. To accomplish this work, we need an experienced person who knows how to affect change, one who can navigate the system. Frustration with government that does not seem responsive calls for a responder, and I respond. When government isn't attentive, we need a supervisor who attends to the details. And when money is squandered, we need a fiscal good steward to eliminate waste and redundancy. When questions aren't asked, projects are flawed, and I'm inquisitive, experienced, accountable, and fiscally responsible. What about justice, though? We're born with a need for fairness and justice, and we're indignant when something isn't fair. I value fairness. One constituent said, "You asked my questions, you expressed my concerns." And another shared with me, "I didn't always agree with you, but after you explained how you reached a decision, I understood your reasons." So I earned the support among board members and the public who found me to be fair. As a supervisor, I'll engage the views of my constituents before forming my decision on an issue. Supervisors are not to predetermine how they will vote before the public hearing. I believe the concerns of the silent, the intimidated, and those not present must be heard. And when a supervisor holds strident positions, it shuts others down with differing views. We're weaker for that deprivation. Decisions are flawed. I'll voice concerns that would otherwise remain silent. Thank you very much for attending the forum today.
All right, thank you very much for the opening statements. We're going to start now with the questions. And since Mr. Handveld was the first to give the opening statement, we're going to begin with Mr. Campbell with our first question this evening. And the first question is, when doing budget planning and all the things the county is responsible for, what would you say are your top priorities? And just a reminder, each candidate has 1 minute to answer the question.
So my top priorities are, well, there's really one overarching priority that covers many of the other things, and that's economic development. That includes focusing on shoring up our broadband internet access in this community. I mean, here we are an hour and a half drive away from Silicon Valley, you know, the entire technology hub of the world, and we have limited to no broadband internet access in the second district where I live. And that's unacceptable. If you want to be an innovator, if you want to be an entrepreneur, if you want to apply for a job or take online courses, advance your knowledge, you need access to broadband internet. That needs to be a priority. That has to come first before we expect any kind of economic development of any kind of true scale in this community. That would be my answer, is economic development hinges on better access to broadband internet, and I have some ideas to do that.
Thank you. And Mr. Tichenor.
Maybe I'm interpreting the question a little bit differently, but as far as budget priorities for me, it's to make sure that law enforcement is the most highly prioritized item that we have, and that we do everything we can to not cut services and to make sure that we have the tools and the people necessary to always keep our citizens safe. Everything else to me is secondary after that.
Thank you. And Mr. Cancio.
For me, having driven up and down from Tuolumne to Pinecrest many numerous times during the past 6 weeks, every time, everywhere I go, it's roads. Merv, we gotta fix the roads. And so for a budget planning, I am going to prioritize and figure out how to work with the government to say, hey, we need to fix the roads. SB1 is coming. There's about $14 million budgeted for the next 5 years. We have to use that wisely. We can't just throw it here, throw it there. We have to develop a plan to meet the needs of the people so that the roads are fixed. Number one issue, roads.
Thank you. And Mr. Kirk.
Thank you. As a law enforcement officer, I think the fundamental duty of government is to protect the safety and security of its people. So I'd agree with Tichenor on first thing is law enforcement. Under my supervision as a supervisor, I would not cut law enforcement one penny. I think that's the fundamental job as government. Next thing, like he said, is roads. I haven't just driven the roads. I've been door knocking on every single door in this district to show you guys that I am working for you. And I wish we weren't talking about roads, but yeah, it's the number one concern of the majority of people, fix the roads. And I'll just be blunt with you. Roads is a state. We get the money from a gas tax. So believe me, I think the roads are going to get worse before they get better. So we need to focus on patching it up as best we can until we can fight and go lobby at the state for more funding. And then last thing, I'm running out of time. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Rasmussen.
Well, coming from a military background, we need to stick to basics. I believe Board of Supervisors have two most top priorities. One, keeping a nice house clean, running properly, providing the services, which includes roads, but it also includes facilities. And we have bad roads, we have a backlog in facilities, and we got to focus on the house before we can go after luxuries. With broadband issues, housing, businesses, those are all issues that kind of have to come together if we're going to build an economic stable environment. And you can't have one without the other. And that's just the way it is. And just a tap on law enforcement, I believe Tuolumne County is a community that can enforce itself through good neighborships, through good community, and that's what's going to be most effective when it comes to law enforcement. Thank you.
Thank you. And Ms. Sylvester.
Thank you. I concur with Merv. 20 years and more, roads has been the number one thing people talk about, but since the timber industry has been reduced, we haven't had ways, really good ways, to take care of our roads. I completely concur with you. But in the budget planning, one of the things I look for are resources, matching funds, like a 20-80 split with the U.S. Forest Service, grants, partnerships, a balanced budget, economic development. How do we bring in income? I'm revenue-driven. I'm really looking for ways to bring in, from existing sources, more revenue. Public safety is a supervisor's responsibility, and I'd act to establish directional road signs. There's other areas in public safety we need to address, too. We need backup audio, emergency warning systems, Proposition 172, fire funding, and fire and fuel reductions are all important things, but we need to set up the planning process, look for resources, and make sure that we can fund the many departments that we have.
Thank you. And Mr. Hanvelt.
Okay, some of them got it right. Public safety is always number one, and that's more than your sheriff's department. That includes the district attorney and some of the other people that do the job of public safety in the sense of law enforcement. It's always number one. We have to protect our people. Crime is on the increase with the advent of AB 109, Prop 47, Prop 57. The rules have changed, and that's makes it much more difficult for our law enforcement people and our district attorney to do their job. So we have to support them, and that's really important. Second thing is economic development, and we got to have a path to prosperity. We got to find a way for every man, woman, and child in this county to prosper, thrive, and they have to do it on their own. But we got to make the conditions there for them, for our people to do well. And so we do that by trying to attract business and making the world safer. Okay. Turn it over to you.
Thank you. And now moving on to our next question, we're going to start first with Mr. Tichenor. Tuolumne County is looking at a $4.9 million budget deficit for next fiscal year at last count. Do you have any bold ideas to help close that gap?
Bold ideas. With the short amount of time between now and the decisions that have to be made in July, there's not a whole lot of bold ideas to bring out. Sure, we have to long-term forecast how we can bring in more revenue. My best way is to tell government to get the heck out of the way and let business do what it needs to do. But the short term, there really isn't any magic bullets. Some really uncomfortable, really painful decisions are going to be made by the current leadership that we have. And what we have to do is stand with them and stand behind them as they make those hard decisions. There's no way around it at this point. You know, people are going to see perhaps the loss of their jobs or furloughs or reductions in the amount of time that they have. The quickest way to fix a budget problem is always with the payroll. And so that's going to be a difficult decision.
Thank you. Mr. Cancio.
Thank you. All right. Thank you. So there's a $4.9 million deficit, according to the newspaper. I talked to Craig Pedro in length, and he said, Merv, I've worked here for 12 years as a CAO. I've been in the county for 34 years. Every single one of those years, we have balanced the budget. I'm going to trust Craig of telling the truth. So they will do the necessary cuts themselves to so that our budget is balanced. And so if we can't trust a guy who has a great track record, I don't know who we can trust. So I'm going to put my money on Craig that he will balance the budget by July 1st. If not, he's going to have to talk to me personally after November 6th.
Thank you. And Mr. Kirk.
Yeah, and I met with Craig Pedro as well, and I would confirm what Merv said. There's about $1.5 million fluff in that deficit. So, again, trust but verify everything that's presented as a board member. We got to understand that it's not the government's job to create jobs. It will cost you in taxes. It's private industry that will fuel the economy, create jobs, and pay tax revenue. So going forward, we have to think long term so we don't get in these pickles again. Government needs a budget the way I budget. Me and my wife have to make cuts every single week in our lives. So we got to take care of what we got. Third, boosting the economy, improve business friendliness, and restore property rights back to homeowners. I hope we can talk more about that later. Which will boost our economy, and then also tourism. $230 million comes into our account because of tourism, so we need to make sure that we protect that and grow that. Payment in lieu of taxes, manage our forests. We have an asset sitting up there in our forest, and if the federal and state governments would just allow us to go pick the weeds out of our garden, it would bring in tons of revenue, it would lift all ships, and get grants anywhere we can get them.
Thank you. Mr. Rasmussen.
It's not just a $4.9 million deficit we're looking at. We're looking at another $8 million the year after. We're looking at another $12 million a year after. This is a long-term issue we got going on here. And again, it goes back to what I said before. We got to look at the basics, fix the in-house first before we can go after these luxury items like the detention center, like the tourist agency. Those are luxury items. That's fat that's got to be cut first. And until we can cut the fat, before we can get the deficit under order and we can actually start getting more income into the county, we can't look at things like that. Our income is going up about $2 million a year. So if we're going up but our population's going down, there's something really wrong behind the scenes in the county. And I've already looked at the 360. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay.
Ms. Sylvester.
Thank you. Before building or accepting any new infrastructure, we need to make sure that our local government clearly identifies how future generations will afford to maintain it. I know we have that ahead of us regarding the juvenile hall. Regarding the budget, an inventory of property in the past, the county has, we own some pieces of property, and I'm thinking that we need to make sure that we're looking at any that potentially can be sold. I'm sure we'd love to get rid of a mine in Jamestown or get some income coming in from that mine. Insurance, property values matter. If our property values start plummeting because of the inability to get insurance in this county because Nationwide and other companies have pulled out, we are in big trouble because it'll start a downward spiral. We need to pay attention to those right now. We need action right now from the board regarding the insurance companies that have pulled out.
Thank you. And Mr. Hanvelt.
Okay, thank you. First of all, we've had a challenge on budget every year since I've been here, and I think you'll continue to see challenges. They're not as bad as everybody says. First of all, we're re-looking at our finances in terms of our income And that'll be the first thing off the top. Our revenue has not kept pace with our costs. And that's typical around government. By the way, if you think we're bad, go look at some of the other counties near us. Our neighboring counties are a lot worse off than we are. We're in pretty good shape relative to them. And we need to find ways to increase our revenue if we're ever going to solve this problem and do the kind of growth we need. Yes, there will be tough decisions made. There's always tough decisions made when you balance budgets. And I'm not afraid of that. No one, neither is the rest of the board. You've got a really good board here that has done this, and they'll be able to do this. And let me point out to you that the crisis of the disasters we've faced has contributed to this because we've had to pay matching funds we wouldn't otherwise have paid out, and that's contributed to some of the problem. Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Campbell.
Yes, thank you very much. As others have said, we're not really just looking at a $5 million budget shortfall. We're looking at a $12 million budget shortfall over the next 2 years. And we're going to, as others have said as well, there is not a lot we can do between now and July to shore that up, short of raising taxes or cutting facilities. Now, our county has been cut over and over again for years, and our citizenry, average household incomes are much lower than the rest of the state, so there is not, I mean, you really can't tax people much more in this community, I don't think. I know I can't afford it. I think this has come from a series of failures to identify problems that have been coming at us for years. You can blame employee pay raises that have come. You can blame raises in the contributions we do to PERS. But those have been known about for years in advance, and we fail to take measures to avoid that. I think we need new leadership. I want to be that leader and avoid these problems in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. And if you are just tuning in, you're listening to Clark Broadcasting's Candidates Night Forum, live from the Tuolumne County Board of Supervisors meeting room and airing live on AM 1450 and FM 102.7 KVML and streaming on MyMotherLode.com. On the stage this evening, we have the candidates for District 2 Supervisor, Randy Hanvelt, Ryan Campbell, and David Tichenol, as well as the District 3 candidates, Merv Cancio, Anaya Kirk, Aaron Rasmussen, and Lori Sylvester.